Welcome again to another broadcast of Restoring Your Life. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to open up your holy word and glean the truths that will make us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we are going to continue speaking in the lines of Luke. I think I talked last time on Luke. I'm on chapter 24. I've been reading through it for the month of January, and we're getting close to the end of the month, and I finished it. So I want to finish it up with you as well. Luke 24 is the last chapter of Luke. It's the time when Jesus rose from the dead. And I'll tell you what, I got something really cool out of this, and I think it's going to really bless you. And I hope it inspires you and encourages you as well. So let's start working out of the book of Luke. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 24. It's where Jesus was in the grave and then he rose. Okay, this is starting in verse 1. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and others with them." So there was a few women that went with the spices to put on Jesus. Of course, they found the stone was rolled away. And so they went and ran and told people and told Peter first, actually. Peter ran to the tomb and he looked in and said, "Wow, where is he at? There's all that's left is the little swaddling clothes laying there." And you know what's interesting? They actually called it swaddling clothes. Isn't that what Jesus was born in? I mean, when they laid him in a manger, he was put in swaddling clothes. Isn't it interesting how he left this world from swaddling clothes? I just had to throw that in there. It's pretty cool. And so they all were talking among themselves. And as they were talking among themselves, wondering what happened to Jesus, here comes Jesus walking up to them. Now, they don't know that it's Jesus yet, okay? It says right here, "And it came to pass while they were communing together and reasoning with each other, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." So they're kind of like all walking away, and Jesus is walking away with them. Can you imagine that? You know, they don't even know it's him. But their eyes were held that they should not know him. So for some reason, their eyes couldn't see. "And Jesus said to them, 'What manner of communications are these that you have with one to another as you walk? And why are you so sad?' And then, of course, one of them said," I think it's Cleophas said to him, "'Are you only a stranger? Have you not known the things that have happened?' And he said, 'What things?'" And now Jesus knows what things, right? He's just trying to work with them. And he says, "And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him.'" And they kept, you know, going on about what, you know, what he learned, what they were taught, and all the things about Jesus. And so then it goes to verse 23, "And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive." So what happened was that when they went into the sepulcher, knowing it was empty, an angel appeared and said, "He's alive. Why are you here? He's alive." And then certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even as the women had said, and they saw him not. So others said, "Oh, let me go look for myself." You know, have you ever been told something and you have to go, "Wait a minute, I got to see this for myself," right? Well, that's what they were doing. "I got to see it for myself." So they all ran to the sepulcher and found it was empty. And then Jesus said to him, because they're just giving the account, right, to Jesus what had happened. And Jesus says to him, and he's like, if I could see him, he's probably like rolling his eyes going, "Oh, you fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said to you." So they had to quote it, everything that the prophets had said, what they have seen, everything. And it says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" He's saying, didn't he say that Jesus was going to suffer these things and enter into glory? And they go, "Well, yeah." And then in the beginning, Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them, and he spoke all the scriptures to them about himself, from the book of Genesis all the way up until the current, you know, I think it was the first five books in the Old Testament at that time, that he expounded all the scriptures to them. So now here they are listening to the stranger quoting all these scriptures. Now, it's interesting because they still don't know it's Jesus. And then it goes on to verse 30. This is what I want to get to. And it came to pass as he sat with them to eat. Now, let me tell you this. Jesus was risen from the dead, and yet he's going to eat? Okay. Some of you are going, what, he's a spirit? No, you know what? Jesus rose from the dead, took his body with him. His body wasn't in the grave. His spirit was not separate. He was connected to his body. He was flesh and blood. He was flesh and blood, people. So when we are raised from the dead in that glorious day, we're going to be reunited with our bodies as well. Now, when we first go to be with the Lord after death, of course, our body is buried, but our spirit returns to the Father. Some of you, and I have to stop here because I really, really like what verse, I mean, let me go back. I got to go back here because this really has set me straight and set you straight. I believe it will for you as well. It goes to Luke 23, and I'm all excited about this because this is the scriptures. This is the gospel message of hope. It says in verse 43, and before I read it, let me preface it with this. It was Jesus in between two thieves, all right, two sinners. And one of them said to him, we deserve this, but this man does not deserve what we're getting. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He even knew Jesus had a kingdom he was going to. He believed it. Somewhere along the way, he messed up, and now he's on a cross being crucified, but he got to stand next to Jesus and ask him, please take me with you into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. That comes from Jesus' lips. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. What does that mean? It meant when he died, his spirit is going to go be in paradise. Many people think that the spirit is asleep. No, it's not. It can't be asleep. The spirit is eternal. Your spirit never sleeps, people. It's in your body, but it never sleeps. It's constantly awake. And there's no sleeping in heaven either, by the way. And so it's constantly awake and alert and such. And so I'm going to give you some hope here. For those of you who think that, when we die, we're just dead, or when we die, we wait till, years and years until the Lord calls us home. No, immediately, today, you shall be with me in paradise. I had to throw that in there because that just really sets it straight, because a lot of people have been coming at me going, oh no, certain people believe different ways, but I want to believe what the scripture says. And what did Jesus say? Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Praise God. Okay, so that was just a backup of that because they were talking with him, and This is the neat part. And it came to pass, as he sat with them to eat, like I said, he's flesh and blood, he took bread and blessed it and broke it. Then their eyes were opened. Okay, let me stop here. This is really cool. When Jesus did the Passover the 3 days earlier, before he was betrayed, he broke the bread and blessed it. There's a connection here. He again broke the bread and blessed it, and they saw who he was. See, they saw something familiar. They go, I've seen this somewhere before. This person kind of did this before. Oh, this is Jesus. See, in order for us to see the Lord Jesus in our lives at work, to see any direction, we have got to know him and his nature and his character. We got to spend a little time with him. See, they spent time with the Lord for 3 years. They got to know him. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture in here. It says, gee, you know what, guys? While we were even walking with this guy, we knew something was up, but we just couldn't put our finger on it. Our spirits were being stirred up by what he was saying, and our hearts were burning within us, but yet we didn't put our finger on it. We didn't know this was Jesus. All right, so this is what I wanted to say. And this is where I believe it's going to be an impactful experience for you. Not only did they see, because they were familiar with what had happened previously, and they said, wow, this is Jesus. This is so exciting. And they go, man, you know, why didn't we see it? The Lord has risen indeed. Praise God, you know, as they finally got it. But this is what Jesus said. You know, and I'm going to go back to verse 25. Oh, you of slow heart to believe. This is the niche here. Slow to believe. You know, they saw Jesus standing there. They saw him, flesh and blood saw him. But because they didn't believe he could rise from the dead, they were wondering if somebody stole the body. They were thinking, maybe, you know, did he really rise? I don't know. You know, so they had all these questions going on in their mind on what happened to Jesus. Because they didn't really believe. They didn't really believe he could rise from the dead in 3 days. So this is what I need to pose to you. First of all, in order to know what Jesus is wanting to do in our lives, we got to know him. We got to know him. We got to know his direction and his leading for our lives. But we can only do that by knowing him, by reading the word, by talking to him, by spending time with him, by just fellowshipping, by just talking to him, by raising your hands and, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus, I love you, during the day, all day long. David rose his hands seven times a day, and praise God. We can do the same thing, take seconds to raise your hand and just acknowledge God's there, okay? It's so cool. And when you do that, it's almost like when you do this, it's almost like this little opening of heaven just pours down through your fingers and into your body and blesses you. I mean, I'm sicker than a dog last week, and I'm like praising God, you know? And he's meeting me, and he's giving me what I need to be strengthened in that time. And that's what he wants for you. And this is what it's all about, our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And then, so what I'm saying, I really, really want to hone in here, slow of heart to believe. And I put it this way, we need to believe it before we can see it. You know, a lot of people say, well, seeing is believing. Well, that's nice for the world because there's no faith involved. Okay? Faith is involved when you believe it before you see it. So I was at the post office yesterday and I was kind of looking around and there was a sign with some stamps on it. It said, seeing is believing. In other words, they're showing them the stamp, seeing, oh, I believe that, I can see it. So I was talking to the postmaster and I was talking to her about it. I go, you know, I'm just doing a study on believing before you see. And she looks at it and she goes, oh, that makes sense. I says, yeah, because you can see it, but do you really believe what you see? You know how many people say, I just can't believe it. I'm looking at it, but I just can't really believe what I'm seeing. You're saying exactly what we need to stop saying. I need to say, I believe that. I believe what I see. So we had a little joke, and you know, and she had told me that there were some packages in my inbox. And I said, well, I haven't seen it yet, but I believe it. I believe I've got packages. So of course I go over there and there's my packages and I was able to see them. But it was a spin on words because we have to believe before we see anything. I've got to believe that the Lord is taking care of my finances before I see my finances being taken care of. You know, that believing is what opens the channels for God to work in your life. But how can you believe somebody you don't know? You know, some say, well, you know, I know God loves them, but I don't really see him loving me very much. Well, we have to say, God, you know, I want to believe you love me. So help me to believe. There's a scripture in here. The centurion said, Lord, I believe, but help me to believe. Because he knew he had a little bit of believing issues. He could almost see it, but oh, help me to believe to see it through. See, we can believe, but we need to believe to see it through. You know, I'm believing that the house next door to us is going to be used for my ministry somehow. I don't know how. I'm believing that God's going to be creative in doing that. Whether I purchase it, whether the people that move in, you know, helps do this or whatever it is. Okay. I am believing that. I haven't seen it yet, but that's how you live by faith. You believe before you see it. And it also opens up that avenue for you to receive. Because if you are believing for something, then your chances to getting it is 25 to 45% improved right there. Because if you don't believe anything, you're not going to get nothing, because you wouldn't even know if it hit you in the head. You know, it's like they didn't know that was Jesus until they believed it was Jesus. And they only believed it because they heard the words out of his mouth and reminded them of who Jesus was before he passed away, before he died, before he rose from the dead. See, I mean, seriously, if somebody come up to you and said, okay, you know what, I've been with you for a while and I'm teaching you, and yet in 3 days I'm going to die and I'm going to rise from the dead, you'd probably just, oh yeah, right, uh-huh. You kind of laugh at them. Well, their people were human back then, and we're human today. On our side of things, we've already seen Jesus rise from the dead. He is alive and well in heaven. And I'm just enjoying knowing the Father through Jesus Christ. Okay, that's how you get to know the Father. I'm getting to know his love for me, his character, his nature. And even today, it was beautiful, because when you believe, and as a matter of fact, I even said, Lord, I believe you're going to use me. I believe that you're going to open doors to use me. Okay, this is what I've said since I started reading this. I'm going to believe. So this morning, right before I did this show, I got a knock on the door because somebody was coming over to pick up some equipment. A pastor from a church, a local church, is picking up some stuff for me today. And the first thing he says out of his mouth is, the Lord asked me to have you pray for me. I was very excited about that. And I was, but also very honored and ready. I was ready. See, I asked the Lord, I'm believing you're going to use me. And guess what? Now I'm seeing it. You see how that works? Now I was able to pray for this pastor and his church and for the growth and for his heart and for ministry and all lives to be changed and whatever it is that the Lord put upon my heart as he spoke through my mouth. Because see, I don't have to figure it out. I mean, some people would go, ooh, I can't pray for you. I wouldn't know what to say. Well, I didn't either. All I did was start praying and the Lord filled my mouth, because it's the Holy Spirit that began the words and finished those words. And so as you, I believe in God's going to use me, and he's going to use me with his power in me to do it. You can do the same thing. You choose today, not just look with your eyes, but believe with your heart what you're seeing, or maybe what you don't see. There's a scripture that says, speak those things that are not as though they are. Not that name it, claim it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying speak those things that are not. For example, you have a prayer request. You want to see your children saved, or finances, or something going on. You know, you need a new job. You don't sit around and wait for somebody to knock on the door. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. No, he wants you to believe. That is your work while you're waiting. You need to believe God is opening doors. You need to believe that he's going to guide your steps. And so maybe he's going to get you up off the couch from the flicker of the TV and go make a few phone calls. Maybe call a local business to see about a job opening. You see, you know, when you're believing, you're doing stuff, because faith, believing without works, doing is dead. I have a friend that is in her later years, and yet she still needs to work, and her body is breaking down in what she's doing. She needs to get a better type of job. So she says, I'm believing God. But she's not doing nothing. She's not making any phone calls. She's not connecting with friends that she knows. That has to we got to do our part too. Believing is doing. Believing, because your faith without works is going nowhere, okay? So maybe you don't know what to do. First thing to do is believe. Father, I have this belief journal. Down what I'm believing God for. I have a space where the answers are, and I'm giving like a listing of what things that I've been going through while I'm waiting for that answer. Because sometimes I forget, and I'm writing it all out. And I think it's encouraging for you, too, to get a little Believe journal. You can pick it up off my website, actually, at truthfreeze.org, and order that. It's just it's a really cool book that help you to believe and receive. Because when you believe something, you're opening yourself up to receive it. If you don't believe it, you ain't going to get nothing. All right? Like I said, it can land on your head and you won't even know it's there. Some of you have piles of stuff on your head and you don't even know it's there. You know what? There could be somebody you're looking for a mate. You're looking for a mate and you're looking everywhere but what's in front of you, you know? So I'm asking the Lord to open up your eyes. I'm asking Him to take off the blinders off of your eyes so that you can believe for what you're wanting so that it will come to pass. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall have it if you don't faint. In due season. That due season is believing. So I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I had said to her this, what I'm sharing with you. And so she's waiting for this other person to come around, and you know, she's like waiting. And I said, okay, while you're waiting, how are you waiting on God? I'm praying for the person. I go, okay, that's nice, but what are you doing for you? And I didn't quite get an answer. She didn't really know what to do. So I said, what you do is you believe. While you're waiting, you believe and trust God. He's working out all, that He's taking care of the situation. You don't have to get in there with your little self and your feelings and your touchy, your words, anything. You're believing. When you believe, what is the work you're to do? Trust, have faith, be at peace, release people, forgive, love, occupy. That's believing. Now you can live your life while you're waiting. See, when you really believe God, when you really believe He's working on your behalf, you can just go enjoy yourself. I remember somebody saying one time, you know, like a little kid will come up to you, your child, let's say your child comes up to you and they say, Mommy, I need a new pair of socks. And they go, and you say, oh, okay, cool. So the little kid goes away believing that you heard and know that you're going to fulfill it. Then they can go out and play again. They're not thinking about, ooh, I wonder if Mama's going to give me some new socks. Oh, and then run back to Mom, Mommy, are you going to get me some new socks? Are you going to give me some new socks? No. They know the first time they say, Mom, I need a new pair of socks. Then they can go and be whatever. You know what? That's what we have to do with God. Father, I'm believing that you're meeting my needs right now. I'm believing that you're opening up this area of my health. You're going to be showing me some wonderful things. You're going to be leading me into people's lives that are going to teach me some new things. I am going to grow in this area. I'm believing that, Father. What you've just done is opened yourself to receive what the very thing you're asking God for. But when He's standing in front of you, do you see Him? I'm encouraging you right now to open up your Word. I don't care. Just flip it open. Read one verse a day. Whatever you can do. Get the Word in you. Let it start speaking to you. It's going to give you some juice. It's going to give you some power. It's going to help you to believe so that you can receive all that God has for you and what you want for you. Well, I thank you so much for joining me today. And we're going to open up the scriptures again next time. But until then, God bless you. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word, this wonderful truth of really being able to believe you. You say that we must believe that you are. Well, we're going to believe that you are in our life, in our needs, and in our ways, Father. We're depending upon you and you alone. Nothing on this world, Father, compares to putting all of our faith, all of our trust, and all of our believing in you. Because through that, then you'll give us the desires of our heart. Let us put the horse before the cart, Father. Let us follow you in all things, as Jesus demonstrated here, is to learn to really believe so that we can see what it is you want us to have and want us to do in Jesus' name. Amen.